God looks at his people. Their bags were full. Their barns were bursting. Their lands were many. And God says, I don't know you anymore. I just don't know you anymore. I did know you. When you lived in tents, I knew you because you needed me. When you wore one pair of badger skin shoes for 40 years, had no other change, when you had one garment to wear and no change of garment, and you had to come to me every day, I knew you. But God says, I don't know you anymore. I just don't know you. You've seen people that have gotten a little up in the world, and you say, I don't know them anymore. They're not like they used to be. I just don't. Or you said to people, I don't know you anymore. You said to your children, I just don't know you anymore. You said maybe in some cases husbands or wives have said, I don't know you anymore. Some cases people can say about a preacher that used to preach against sin and used to fight, used to have zeal and soul winning. They write me letters and say, I don't know my pastor anymore. And God looked at these people and said, I don't know you anymore. I did know you. I knew you when you were poor. I knew you when you were hungry. I knew you when you were starved. I knew you when you were barren, when you had a place to live. I knew you when you were common. I knew you when you had to live from day to day. I knew you when you ate manna from heaven. I knew you when you got the water from a rock. I knew you when you followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But I don't know you anymore. I just don't even know you, God says, anymore. I remember you when you were slaves and beggars. I knew you then. I remember you when you came to the Red Sea and cried for mercy. I knew you then. I recall when you were starving to death and I gave you manna. I knew you then. I recall when you were thirsty and I gave you water from the rock in Horeb for the first time. I knew you then. I recall when you were lost on your journey and I gave you a pillar of cloud to guide you by day and the pillar of fire by night. I knew you then. Things were very scant then, but I knew you. I delivered you from scorpions and serpents and desert places and I knew you. I just don't know you anymore. He said in Hosea 1, in Song of Solomon, I remember the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's so much easier to go after God in the wilderness than it is in the promised land? It's so much easier to go after God and seek God in the tent than it is in the nice home. It's so much easier to go after God in that little apartment when you first got married than that lovely home where you live now. It's so much easier to seek God with that little salary you used to have and you had a hard time making ends meet than with that nice job that you have now. I wonder tonight, does God look down at you and say, I don't know you anymore. I just don't know you anymore. Well, I can recall when you first got married, you came to me and you prayed and you begged and you praised and you pleaded, but I don't know you anymore. Does God, listen, are you... You've seen somebody say, well, money changed him. Yeah, it doesn't take much money to change you. And it's not just the rich people that money changes. People say, is President Carter the same old guy he was down in Plains, Georgia? Has the presidency changed him any? Has money changed so-and-so? Now, it doesn't take much. Listen, one little promotion on the job, before you know it, can change you. And God says, I don't know you anymore. Does God look at you and say the same thing? Does God say, I did know you then? Now, folks, let's face it. There was a day when every stitch of clothing, now some of you still do, but there are folks in this church that haven't been to Kmart in years. You didn't even know where Rosalie's was, or Carson's, or Marshall Field. There are folks in this church had two pair of shoes, one brown pair and one black pair. And now you've got a maroon pair to wear with your maroon outfit or burgundy. You've got a blue pair of shoes, wear your blue outfit. You got a gray pair of shoes, wear your gray outfit. You got an orange pair of shoes to wear your orange outfit. And, you still think you're poor. You don't. If I said, are you rich? No, I'm not rich. I'm poor. But the truth is you are. You live now like rich folks used to live. And the people that used to live like you live now, you thought they were wealthy. The folks that live in the neighborhood where you live back yonder 20 years ago, you thought those folks had a lot of money. Does God know you? How long has it been since you spent time with God begging God for something? God looks down and says, the crust was hard, but it was sweet. There was a time when there was just a hair between you and bankruptcy. I knew you then. Pain's tears stained your cheeks. I knew you then. You turned your face toward the wall and there found me waiting, says God. I knew you then. How sweet was the scripture. How cozy was the prayer closet. No manna fell from heaven, but it was just as much a miracle as if manna had fallen from heaven as God fed you day by day. God says, I knew you then. No smitten rock gave forth a springing stream, actually, but it was just as miraculous because God took care of you in a miraculous way. You prayed and God answered and you begged and God gave and you pleaded and God gave. And God said, I knew you then. And by the way, God liked you better then too. He liked you better. You thinking about somebody right now? Used to be a good old guy and he got famous. Used to be a good old guy and he got money. Used to be a good old guy and became the boss. And you've seen him change. And God says the same thing. God said, I used to like you. I used to know you. But there is a certain kind, as I said the other night, there's a certain kind of a fundamental complacency that comes because of affluency that before you know, not as a church, most of our church is just as common as it always was. But I know people in this room tonight who've gotten impressed with yourself. And bless God, brother, when you get impressed with yourself, you are the lowest you've ever been in your life. There's nothing worse than somebody who, because he has a degree from college, thinks he's somebody. You smell up the place as far as I'm concerned. Brother gets a degree, gets a master's degree, gets a doctor's degree. He looks down on those that don't have it. You're not fit to be a teacher. You're not fit to be an administrator. You're not fit. I mean, you get the place where you say, I'm somebody, and you become impressed with yourself. Listen, we have folks in this church right now, who think they're a little too good to come to First Baptist Church Hammond. Because their mode of life has caused them to rub shoulders with what they think is the intelligentsia. And now that all of a sudden they have gotten a taste of the worldly side, they've gone to country club. The country club's as rotten as it always was, buddy. Rotten as it always was. And now, we have folks right now who are considering going to some so-called high-class church. Let me tell you something right now, buddy. You never get any higher class than that book. When you leave that book, you go no place but down. But we have folks right now because the businessman's successful. Or because you know a few people now that are sort of called the upper crust. Bless God, I don't like a crust upper or lower. I like that goo in between, boy. That upper crust. And now you're too good for First Baptist Church Hammond. You're too good. You're a flusy. You want now some aesthetics. You want an amen. I was down in Georgia this week, and the pastor there said, I brought some people to pastor school. They liked it till you sang one day, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence. And you made fun of it. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or. And you know what? They didn't like that because that sort of tore up their ritual. Yeah, see, you used to compact your foot and sing, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. But you've got a degree now. I mean, you live down on Main Street. You've got a bathtub all your own. You got a bath and a half in your house, and I've been smelling some of you. You've been using the half bath, I guarantee you. But you're somebody now. You've got a dining room and a kitchen. You can choose which one you eat in now. I mean, boy, you got some of you who've got two forks at every meal, a little one, a little bitty fork, and a mother fork right there at every meal. And you're somebody. Let me tell you something. God Almighty looks down and says, I hate a proud look. If there's anything in this world that God hates, it's somebody impressed with himself. Education doesn't make you any better than you used to be. Money doesn't make you better than you used to be. Popularity doesn't make you any better than you used to be. Muscles doesn't make you any better than you used to be. And God looks down the night and God says, I used to know you when you were common. Down to earth, I knew you. I don't know you anymore. You've gotten impressed with yourself. Oh, in God's name, get off your high horse and get back in the mourner's bench and put on some sackcloth and ashes and be like you used to be. And don't let that position change you. And don't let that business change you. And don't let that affluency change you. And don't let that bank account change you. It'll destroy every bit of fellowship you had with God. There was a day when he was marvelous in his provisions and punctual in his tenderness. He succored you. Oh, you live in that poor little cottage on the back street. But he saw tears in your eyes as you received his answers to prayer. You may not remember, but he does. For the doer of a good deed remembers best, and the receiver seldom remembers the deed as long as the giver does. Ask a mother. Ask a mother. The child may not recall the hours that mother spent beside his bed, but mother does. The child may not recall the toil and sweat that mother rendered to cook his meals, but mother does. The child may not know the hours that mother spent keeping the house clean, but mother does. The child may not remember the sacrifice that mother endured to keep the child clothed properly, but mother does. And you may not recall how good God was to you, but God remembers. And you may not recall how poor you were, but God remembers. And you may not recall, we'll have to be seated, please, during the preaching service. But God remembers. And God says, I like you used to be, and I want you like you used to be, and I don't know you anymore. Those were the days. There are days of scanty fare, but plenteous gratitude. The days of few changes of clothing, but grateful cries of thanksgiving. There are days of small income of money, but large outgoes of praise. There are days of need, plunge you to your knee, and days when you depended on God for His sustenance. And God says, I knew you then. I knew your temptation. I knew your weakness. I knew your whereabouts. I knew your heart. And I miss it. Don't you miss it just a little bit also? No wonder C.T. Studd gave away his fortune. No wonder when he got saved, he just took his whole fortune and gave it away. Moody Bible Institute was started on $25,000 given by C.T. Studd when he got saved and said, I'll give it all away. Why? 10,000 times rather have that sweet fellowship you had with God and sell the business. Get rid of it. Burn it down. Don't let that business keep you from God Almighty. And don't let that business change you, and don't let it cause you to be impressed with yourself. See, I've been here 20 years. I knew you when you were just an hourly wage earner. And you may be somebody to yourself, but you're just old Joe to me like you always were. I knew you before you got your degree. I knew you when you were just a young fella. I knew you before you were a lawyer. I knew you before you were a doctor. I knew you before you were a businessman. I knew you. Now, in most cases, you're the same you always were. But if it changes you, and if you get impressed with yourself, and if it comes between you and fellowship with your God, best thing to do is quit your business, burn the building. So they came to the wilderness. Out of the wilderness, and they settled in Canaan. Now they have all their hearts can want. They eat the fat and drink the sweet. They have no need for manna because they have corn aplenty. They have no need for Horeb's flinty rock because they have brooks and wells aplenty. Note, the Bible says they were filled, and again it says they were filled. And God says, I miss it. See, I recall, fella, you businessmen. I recall when you didn't have much business. And I remember when you used to call me on the telephone and say, Preacher, pray that God will send business here. And I remember when I used to go out to some of your places of business, and I used to go out at night and walk around your place of business for an hour at your request, and I'd say, God, send folks across this line, and around your place I'd walk, and around your place I'd walk, and around it I'd walk, and beg for God to send business. And those days, the next day, business came in, you'd call me on the phone and say, Praise the Lord, preacher, I made a big sale. Thank God. You don't do that much anymore, do you? You're like the man that was sliding off the roof. He said, Help me, Lord, help me. The seat of his breeches caught on a nail. He said, Never mind, Lord, I make it by myself now. You can't make it by yourself now either. You need God now as much as you did when you were praying for a few customers to come in to keep your business open. I remember, I recall when you were just barely making it. I can listen. In at least a dozen cases, I can recall when I took money out of my own billfold and gave it to you and let you borrow it, in some cases let you have it, to keep you in business. And now some of you very people who begged God and pleaded with God and cried for God's help, God gave it to you. And now you've got a good business, and you don't even know God lives anymore. That's sin of the wickedest sort. You used to have a bus route, didn't you? But you're too affluent for that now. That was good for... That was a cute thing to have when you were just a little bitty Christian. Get back to it. Chicago, Illinois, and this area is full of people who back yonder in days gone by, in the days of Ironside, in the days of Paul Rader, were on fire for God, and not just fundamentalists carrying a Scofield Bible and Larkin's chart on prophecy. And there are people who passed out tracts, and folks who witnessed, and folks who had old-fashioned infantry down in the trenches, fundamental Christianity. But now they've got grown up. They've gotten wealthy, or affluent. They're the boss now, have a good job now. And they're dead. And all over this great Chicago area, there are churches that are dead. I mean dead. Why? Because the old gang grew up. And they got impressed with themselves. Oh, now they get plenty of money. And the same churches that used to be alive for God and yet prayed for the next week's offering and for God to supply their needs weekly, sometimes daily, now they have big budgets, and the schools have are endowed. I want to tell you something. I pray that God will never let Hiles Anderson College get endowed. Never. I pray that God will keep us having to get on our knees and beg Him for tomorrow's meals as long as the school's open. You let a school get endowed, and I'll show you it'll die. Why? Hey, all over this area. Listen, there was a day when this was one of the great fundamental areas in the world. But now what is it? A bunch of museum Christian, nothing more than relics in a spiritual museum, doing nothing for God, the whole area going to hell, and even criticizing somebody who lives now like they used to live in days gone by. And nothing in the world's done it but affluency. And God looks down and says, I knew you then. I don't know you now. Does God know you? Does God know you? God says, I knew you then. I don't know you anymore. There's something happened to you. Now I want to say a few things about this. In the first place, brother, all of the material things of life are temporal. There was never a garment which a moth could not eat, or time could not rot, or days could not devour. There was never gold or silver that a thief could not steal. There was never a stock or a bond or an investment that depression could not evaporate. There were never riches that could not be stolen. Riches will surely perish. Now the danger is, take care you won't perish with them. I can see my uncle, Harvey, up in years. Money to spare. Money to burn. Health gone. Stroke. Sitting in a wheelchair. Stocks and bonds and real estate and houses and lands and property. And I can see him sitting in a wheelchair. He can't even talk. He tries to make some words out and you can't understand them. All the time somebody else is counting his money. All the time somebody else is making his deposits. All the time somebody's preparing his will, and there he sits in a wheelchair. You are a fool to give your life to affluency and money and material possessions, because in one great sweep, God can take it all. That bank right over there and that bank right down there are just one announcement from the president in closing. Just one. And I'll tell you what, I dare say if we knew what Mr. Walker knows tonight, and he hasn't told me what he knows, I don't want to know what he knows, but if we knew what these bankers know tonight, I expect all of us to realize how fleeting our riches really are. Somebody said, well, of the house said, my savings are insured by the United States government up to $15,000. I'd have Charlie Brown guaranteeing my savings. The United States government is in a worse shape than any business in America. Man, if the United States government, the honest truth is that they're raising Social Security taxes not so you can get some money someday so they can pay the next bills next month. Nothing grieves me anymore than to see a few dollars change my people or a stupid business change my people or a degree from college change my people. Or little popularity change my people. God looks down to some of you folks tonight and God says, I did know you. I don't know you anymore. You're not like you used to be. Second thing I want to say about it is this. God, now listen to this. God usually gives most of the earthly wealth to those whom he loves the least. Did you hear me? I said, God usually gives most of his earthly wealth to those he loves the least. 'Tis a rarity for an Ethiopian treasurer to get saved, and you know it. 'Tis unusual for a Joseph of Arimathea to come to Christ, and you know it. Earth's wealthy are seldom heaven's favorites. I would not suggest you set too high a price on that which God so lightly esteems. Your master had none of it. He had no place to lay his head. Not many mighty are called. Not many wealthy are called. I said, God usually gives his earthly possessions to those whom he loves the least. Why? Because the person has to pray for tomorrow's meat and bread is closer to God than the person that has it stored up for a year. The person that's begging God, oh God, I've got to have a car or get the old one fixed. He's closer to God than the person that's got a Cadillac in the garage and an extra spare one coming on the way. And God looks down tonight and God says, I did know you. There was a day when I knew you. I don't know you. I knew you. When you drove an old rattle trap, I don't know you now in the new car. I knew you. When you lived in that little attic apartment, I don't know you anymore now that you own your own house. I knew you. When you had one suit to wear to church and you had to patch it up or cover the see the breeches of your coat on, couldn't take your coat off because your breeches were torn. I knew you then. I don't know you now that you wear a Hart Schaffner and Mark suit or several of them. I knew you then. I don't know you now. Let me tell you something, folks. If your affluency causes you to leave your sweet fellowship of knowing God, you'd be 10 times better off to do what C.T. Studd did and get rid of every dime you have. Third thing I want to say is this. You won't be satisfied when you get it. It's like a man drinking seawater to quench his thirst. The more you drink, the more you want. The more you drink, the hungrier you get. Ancient Mariner said, water, water everywhere, and there a drop to drink. And then you look out and see the seawater, and you say, there it is, I'll drink it, but it'll make you more thirsty. Drink some more, it'll make you more thirsty. And bless God, you take a little dollar bill like that, and you say, I want another one, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 5, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 10, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 20, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 50, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 100, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want a 1,000, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want 10,000, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want 100,000, and you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. You say, I want 1,000,000, you get it, it'll make you more thirsty. There never has been in the history of this world anybody in this world that ever sought that right there who got to a place where they did not seek anymore. Never has been. Because, buddy, that cannot satisfy. One of them can't, and 1,000,000 of them can't. One of them can't, and 10,000,000 of them can't. And you know it's the truth. You're used to kind of prayer meeting on Wednesday night till you got that business, and now you want more of that. You don't go anymore. You used to go soul winning till you got after that, and you got that business, now you don't go anymore. You used to come to church on Sunday night, but now you got that business, you don't come much anymore. You had a bus route, but you got that business and you wanted some of that, and you just, sir, I want more.
I want more. Listen, you find me a person. You find me somebody who's got all that he wants. Who searches for it. Listen to. There are people in this room that are just as mercenary that don't have any more than that $1 bill right there. Tis not the love of a lot of money that's the root of all evil, tis the love of money. And brother, it happens when you get up 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. It happens. Now, you won't be satisfied. Let me ask you one question. Can you find me one Christian who was ever injured by his problems? Find me one single Christian in this world who was ever injured by his problems. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus was sweeter to you when you were at the grave of that little child than he ever has been in your life. Jesus was sweeter to you in depression days than he ever has been in your life. Jesus was sweeter to you when you had to come to him and say, "Oh God, I'm sick. I'm afraid I'm going to die. God, make me well." And God came down like he did to Hezekiah of old. And God added 15 years to your life. He was sweeter in your problem. Also, another question. Is it not true that prosperity is usually a curse? Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that David wrote most of his Psalms. Hear me. David wrote most of his Psalms when he was not on his throne. I dare you to check the Psalms that David wrote. David wrote most of David's Psalms he wrote while he's being chased by Saul. Running for his life. Hiding with the animals and wild goats in caves. Seeking refuge from the enemy. Trying to save his own life. It was there that David wrote the Psalms. And David wrote most of his Psalms then, or when Absalom was fighting David, and David was outside the city, had abdicated the throne, was in Maonaim, outside the city. David didn't write many Psalms while he sat on the throne in peace. He wrote his Psalms in trouble. And God looks down tonight to you and says to you, "I don't even know you anymore. When you're in trouble, I knew you. When you're poor, I knew you. When you started out, I knew you. When you're in the wilderness, I knew you. When you lived on manna from heaven, I knew you. When you got water in the rock, I knew you." Some of you folks worry me sick. Absolutely worry me sick. With your newfound way of making money. I'm not opposed to your making money. I'm not opposed to your being successful in business. If you don't miss prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And if you stay in teacher's meeting and keep that class and keep that bus route and stay on your knees and don't get impressed with yourself and don't become a snob and don't be sort of just come to visit the church every once in a while, it's still your church, you still love it. You still love me. You still love the church. You plan to stay the rest of your life in God's name, get back like it used to be. It's not enough just to make this place the church where you have grown up and the church where you're going to spend the rest of your life. Now say this also. It was said of Jehoshaphat that he walked in the ways, he walked in the first ways of David. He walked in the first ways of David. Why? Because David's first ways pleased God. David's last ways did not please God. Now I say this also. You won't enjoy your prosperity long. What value is $1 million to him who's paralyzed and can't get out of a wheelchair? What value is an estate to him who's confined to one room as a shut-in? What value is a work of art to one who has lost his sight and can't view it? What value is beautiful music to him who's lost his hearing and can't hear it? God has a way of seeing to it that you won't enjoy. Listen, there's not one person out of 1,000 that makes money that ever gets to enjoy it. Your wife's next husband enjoys it. Not one out of 1,000. You stack it and 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 stack it. And it wrecks your spiritual life. You don't live in this book anymore. You don't live on your knees anymore. You don't go out soul winning anymore. You lost your old time gospel. You've lost your thrill. You've lost your hallelujah. You've lost your joy. Why? Because you wanted money. and affluency.
And the tragedy is, you trade your walk with God for something that you never get and you never enjoy. You leave it to a bunch of kids that it ruins, or to a wife that's too old to enjoy it, or God sees to it you never get to enjoy it. Then note the end, what it says. It says first, I did know thee in the wilderness, the land of great famine. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Some of you there right now, this kind of preaching is crude to you now. A little beneath you. Well, there was a day you loved it. There was a day you enjoyed it, but it's a little crude now. Certain people that with whom you run, they can't come to your church with you for fear that you'll be embarrassed bringing them to hear your preacher. He just may have one of his fits some night while your friends are here and embarrass you. Well, bless God, your friend did a few old holy fits. Oh, used to is fine, but not now. Not now. And, by the way, when I preach like I did this morning, you love it. You say, boy, that was a good sermon. You know why you said that? Because it's like a work of art. You want to bring your affluent friends to enjoy it and doesn't embarrass you. Let me tell you something, buddy. The hellfire and damnation sermon ain't bad either. And you get the place to where you can't hear a hellfire and damnation sermon and rejoice in it, then you better watch out. You're about to be affected and God's about to say to you, I don't know you anymore. Your old church becomes plain or commonplace. They want something more pleasing to the eye. The old service is too simple and unadorned. The service is suddenly too long. The church is getting too big. The church is changed. You hunger for the aesthetic. And as the other affluent folk do. I'm not opposed to education. I'm for it. I've started 2 high schools, 1 junior high school, 1 grade school, 1 college. And I'm for it. But I'll tell you what, brother. The first time I see the slightest bit of Pharisaism in a professor at Hiles Anderson College, and the first time one of these professors start looking down their noses at common folks or folks that work out here at these steel mills or folks that didn't get to finish high school or grade school and doing the best they can to rear a family and serve God, the first time I see one of you professors looking down your nose at somebody like that, I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll be teaching in another college by tomorrow morning. We won't put up with that here. I'm for folks making money. If it doesn't change them. I'm for folks getting degrees if it doesn't change them. I'm for folks having nicer clothes if it doesn't change them. I'm for folks living in nicer houses if it doesn't change them. I'm for folks driving nicer cars if it doesn't change them. I go back to Texas to visit the old church I used to pastor. It's interesting, the folks I don't see anymore. That couple, they lived on, what was that street? Walnut. Was it Walnut? I think it was. Walnut Street. They were 21. I was about to see him. Good looking guy. Cute little wife. Wonderful personality. Just common folk. The guy got a job at the city. Wasn't long. They had a pretty good job at the city. He came to our church. Boy, I'd preach in here. Amen, amen, amen. Soul winning every week. Sunday school class. On the firing line for God. Loved everything. Fundamental of the core. He became assistant city manager. I go back to Texas, and he's now a city manager in a city of about 200,000 people down in Texas. I forgot to tell you, he doesn't go to the old church anymore. He's not a fundamentalist anymore. He goes to one of the formal churches downtown. Now, why? He's city manager. You're better off than ever saw the city hall. Don't see him anymore.
Now, the folks that worked in the factories, I still see them in the same old church. They're doing what they always did. Then there's that fella who was a doctor. He came to me one day, and he came to our church. He visited. He got saved in our church. He asked me if I'd go out and eat with him. I did. He said, Reverend, he said, I need somebody in town to help me get acquainted. He said, if you could just let people know that I'm open for business. I can see it. He rented a little house and had his office in a house. He's a good man. And I sent him some patients. And he got to making money. Oh, he now has a hospital of his own he's built. A big three-story hospital. I guess it has 200 or 300 beds in it. He now employs about 9 doctors. Boy, I forgot to tell you, he doesn't go to the old church anymore. Huh? It's very cute for you when you're starting out. But you know how it is. No, I don't know how it is. What was good for you in your medical school is good for you now that you own the hospital, fella. Then there's that fella who had an insurance route. Had just a route. You know, going place to place collecting monthly premiums. By the way, he's president of a big insurance company now. He was on my deacon board. He's president now of a big insurance. Oh, by the way, he's not in the old church anymore. His friends go down to the Episcopalian church on the corner. Or down to the holy, 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 holy church. And some of you folks sitting right there tonight criticizing what I'm saying when you ought to get down off your high horse and get on the mourner's bench and get right with God. You know it's the truth. And then God hates a proud look. Somebody thinks you're better than somebody else is. We have sometimes students come from schools around here to slum it and look down this kind of preaching. Brother, you don't look down this kind of preaching. You look up on this kind of preaching. I appreciate you coming out here so we look down on you. We don't do it, bless God. We don't do it. Oh, by the way, there's that fellow who was a painter. He made $3 an hour painting, non-union. He got in the car business. A lot of money. I guess the guy's worth $1 billion now. Oh, I forgot to tell you. When I go back down to the old church, he's not there anymore. You wouldn't expect a fellow made $1 million in the car business to go to a fundamental church, would you? Yeah, maybe you wouldn't, but God would. You wouldn't expect a fellow that's the president of a big insurance company to go to the same. Well, you wouldn't expect a guy who's the president of the company to go to the same church you went to when he was a salesman, would you? Yeah, you may not, but God would. God would. Oh, by the way, I go back to the old church, and there's a fellow who used to sit in the choir. He never said amen, he just laughed. He enjoyed the services so much. I'd say something he liked, and he wouldn't say amen. He'd just go, just like, he just laughed. Laughed more intelligently than these fellows do over here. He just laughed. He became a buyer. 20 years ago, it was worth $1 million. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I go back down there to the church. He's not there anymore. He's at the fashionable church downtown that he used to sort of look with disdain on. You don't expect a fella that has $1 million to go to the same old church he went to when he had $100, do you? Huh? You don't expect a fellow that's got a Ph.D. to go to the same old church he used to when he's just a high school graduate, do you? Huh? Yeah. Something about us. We can't take prestige, can we? Not many folks can take a degree. Not many preachers can take a big church. Not many men can take a big income. Not many people can take power. Not many people can take affluency. And as I stand behind this pulpit tonight, there are holes all over this building where people used to sit.
15, 20 years ago. They're working their way through college. And now they're out of college. They're too good for the old church now. Too good. Or they may be too good to go soul winning anymore. Or they may be too good to have that bus route like they used to have. After all, we're middle-aged now. We have a nice house. We belong to the bowling league. I'm not talking about church bowling league. I will say this. If you've got time to go to the church bowling league, not time to go soul winning, you're not right with God. You got time to play on the church basketball team, not time to go soul winning, something might be wrong with you. You got time to play on the church softball team, not time to go soul winning. You need to reinspect your Christian life. I watch it. Young man sat in the office. Grew up here. His mother and dad, lovely people here. One of the nicest guys we ever had. His mother and dad sacrificed to get him an education. He got an education. Came back home to visit his parents a year or so ago, and I talked to him. They don't know who it is, and I'm not going to tell them. So he's going to come by my office. He came in, and I said, hello there. I'll call him Joe. Hello, Joe. How you doing? Well, I'm doing very fine, Dr. Hiles, and I'm so glad to see you once more. That doesn't move me a bit. Well, Joe, how are you doing? Well, I'm just doing well. How's school? Well, the fortune has shined on me, Dr. Hiles, and I'm delighted once again to see you and renew our acquaintance. I see. What kind of impression did you have? Oh, vomit. Are you glad to see your parents, Joe? Well, in a filial kind of way. What do you mean, Joe? Well, you know, my parents are simple people. And I love them because, well, you're supposed to love your parents. Well, why did you come to see them, Joe? Well, it's just the thing to do. Of course, as you know, Dr. Hiles, my mother and father and I have so little in common anymore. Bless their hearts. They are lovely people, but you know. Yeah, I know. You're a fool. You're an idiot. I know. But what do you want to do? Punch him right in the cotton-picking pusher. That's what I want to do. Why didn't you do it? Because he's younger and bigger. And I'm smarter. That young man sat there and made fun of his mom and dad to me. I walked over and I grabbed him by the collar and I said, buddy, I said, you come here. Out you go! Good thing it wasn't you. I could throw you over the building here. I could have Brother Ray before he got affluent. Now, by the way, the fellow I just picked up with the collar, what's your title now? He's manager of the payroll department in Nipsco. He's that rascal raising all these prices. I haven't seen any change in any of you. Huh? He hasn't said to me lately, Dr. Hiles, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Carrico, very simple people, but lovely people, they do the best they can. I never noticed them doing the best they could, but... I feel a filial affection with them. You think I'm kidding? We've got folks out in this room just like that right now.
We got folks right in this room right now think that our school's not good enough for your kids now that you've got a few pieces of paper stacked up inside a big vault somewhere. Funny. Ever since you changed red for green, you've been sort of snooty, haven't you? God says, I don't know you anymore. I know Ray, like I always did. I know him as well tonight as I did when he was a teenager in the church. I know him as well as I did when he went off to college. I know him as well as I did when he came back and got a job at NIPSCO. Bottom of the letter. Why? He's the same old Ray. He's the same old Ray. I remember Brother Fisk. He's custodian here. He had a mop in one hand, broom in the other, and had a bunch of keys hanging off his belt. That's where you've seen Brother Fisk has back trouble. That's those keys. I'm going to preach a while longer. I need a little snack here. You know why I'm doing this tonight? There are five or six folks in this room looking down on me, and I'm just going to let you have a lot of it while we're here. And the sooner that you look like you're enjoying it, the more likely you are not to spend a week here when the snow comes. I knew Brother Fisk when he was a custodian. And now there are not that many associate pastors in the world well known as C.W. Fisk. And I wouldn't trade him for anyone I know. He's the same guy. At a wedding last night. He knew it. Came in for our weekly appointment. Left a little sack when he came, walked out. The wind is chilly and wind is frosty. Something to drink. Same old guy he always was. How about you? God know you tonight? God know you? Or does God say to you about you like he said about the Israelites? I did know you in the wilderness. I did know you. Could I say this? And I hesitate to say it for fear you will misunderstand it. That's one reason I don't drive a big car. Folks see what I drive and they're always surprised. I drive the church mail van, which is not being used. Folks come to pastor school. All these preachers wonder what kind of car Dr. Hiles drives. Lincoln Continental? Rolls Royce? Mercedes-Benz? Mercedes-Benz. I drove a Chevrolet and it broke me one time. But anyhow, oh, that was a good one. I'll make a New Year's resolution, do better next year. What kind of car does he drive? Give me strength, knock the fight back. If I ever get to be a big preacher, I don't want to find out about it. And if you ever get to be a wealthy person, don't find out about it. And if you ever get to be successful in your field, you just tell your field that Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night are all taken every week 52 times a year. And in case you do have some Episcopalian, I don't know why I'm picking on Episcopalians tonight, I guess because I think two or three of you look like you are. In case you do have some Episcopalian friends that you're a little ashamed to bring to this church, just bring them on. One fellow said to me, Brother Hiles, I can't bring my higher class friends to you preach. I said, I bet you could. Try it. I bet you could. Yeah. By the way, ain't no higher class people. You ought to say, there ain't no higher class people. Only difference in you folks have degrees and you folks that don't, you're ignorant on different subjects. A
Years ago, Joe Boyd was had his master's degree, Texas A&M, All-American football player, certified public accountant. Came down to East Texas, bought a house, and joined our little country church. We had a gal down there named Smoke, Mrs. Smoke. I can't think of her first name. I can't think of it. She was what all of you think all Southerners are like.
Hello, Brother Jack. How you doing? Has you had any okra lately?
Old Joe Boyd came down there and joined our church, and he looked at Miss Smoke, and he said, "She's sort of primitive, isn't she?" Joe was a young preacher at the time, impressed with himself. Joe planted a garden.
He didn't get one potato.
He tried to pick them off a tree. He was a graduate of Texas Agriculture and Military College with a master's degree. Did you get that? Agriculture, Military College. He went to see Miss Smoke one day, and she had the best, prettiest garden you ever saw in your life. He said, "Mrs. Smoke, what kind of fertilizer did you use?"
"Barnyard."
He said, "Mrs. Smoke, what is the secret?"
She said, "The moon."
He said, "What?"
She said, "The moon. I plant all this here stuff for the moon."
He said, "That's superstition." One night I went out to see old Joe. Old Lady Smoke, she'd taken a course that Texas Agriculture Military College hadn't taught yet. Yeah. Smartest child psychologist I ever met in my life, my mother, and she didn't go past the fifth grade. She couldn't teach it. I never saw a child she couldn't conquer just like that with love. Smartest psychologist I ever met, my mother. My mother can get on a bus, ride across Hammond on public transportation, sit down beside a lady, talk to her 15 minutes, and write her the rest of her life. I mean, get to know her. Borrow money from her. No joke. She can take some old crabby soul on a bus, and in 5 minutes, she can have that person talking, have them out to eat, send them Christmas presents, or get them. I'm simply saying, folks, we're getting older now. I was looking at Miss Colston tonight. Don't normally look at her, but and somebody's singing. I'm sitting right here, and somebody's standing right here. There ain't much else you can see. And Miss Colston, your shoes matched your skirt. You're getting pretty floozy. Don't you think you ought to trade this guy in on another one? By the way, you played that organ tonight too, and the tune was pretty good. Yeah, we're growing up. Brother Ray, you're getting where you dress pretty good too. Well, check your offering envelope. And did you notice that darling pair of shoes Brother Fisk had on this morning? I wrote Anita Bryant and told her about him this afternoon. By the way, in case you're wondering, we're now in our watch night service, in case you'd like to know. Really? No joke. There's not a man in America dresses better than Peter Fish does. Really? Honestly. No, you're somebody. If you don't believe that the sun is doing well, look at him. If you ever get in a fight with him, you'd have to blow the belt. There's no other part of him, just about. I'm just trying to rub it in on some of you snobs, that's all. Now, folks, look. Look at this building. Look at this. You know what that is right there? That's what I couldn't pronounce 25 years ago. I thought you had to go to college to learn how to play one of those things right there. That's chandelier. Did you hear what I said? You go to church, that's chandelier. Not only that, you got a pastor who's a college president, in case you'd like to know. I was standing in line over there in O'Para Field the other day waiting to get on a plane. About 200 folks stand in line, a big old line, get checked in a DC-10 plane. Fellow walked by, and he said, you're Dr. Jack Hyams. And I said, yes, I suspicioned it. He said, boy, am I glad to see you. I've read all of your books. And the fellow behind me said, are you Dr. Jack Hyams? He didn't know who Dr. Jack Hyams was. He's going to act like he knew it. That guy knew me like, you know, he ought to know me. He said, you Dr. Jack Hyams? Yeah. He said, well, I'll tell you, I didn't know that. He didn't know who Jack Hyams was. He said, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? So it happens all the time. Better watch it, hadn't we? Yeah. Better watch it.